it's just a real joy to be able to be among the family of God. And you know, I hope that you appreciate that. Our own families are very dear to us. Sometimes we draw apart. Sometimes brothers and sisters do not speak to others or their own. Sometimes sons and daughters will not speak to their parents after so long a time. But there's always that close fellowship in the church. And I just thank God over and over for the many, many good friends, and I mean friends like Jesus said to have, that are in the church of God, that are scattered throughout the country, that I know that love me, and I love them. Many things that we could say. I know that Iris and I do appreciate being here. And we hope to come back again, of course, but I'm still full-time in a smaller congregation, much smaller than yours, but it's enough for me at my age, and we hope to continue to be active for some while to come. So we're busy, and it's a small country church. Most of you are familiar with the area, or several of you are, because you did go to Cedar Falls to the General Conference, Cedar Falls, Iowa. We're only 70 miles south of Cedar Falls, in the state where the tall corn grows. And even though it's been dry, generally from where we live north in the state, the crops are very good. But from where we live south, they're just about like they are here. Just burned up. Well, enough for that. We want to spend a few minutes talking about something that the Church of God and its leaders have taught from the beginning of the Church of God in this country, and of course as far back as it goes. And that's that which concerns the nation of Israel. We cannot begin to talk about all the things that concern the nation of Israel tonight. We couldn't do it if we spent the next 8 nights here. But just a few things to bring us very close to the conditions of the times in which we're living. Now, when the influx of people began to come into this country in the early 1800s, and the revival began, and whether we know it or not, and we're not taught very much of this in our histories, but there was a great revival that began in America in the early 1800s, around 1820. Then again, in 1840, there was a resurge, and it brought about a great change, so much so that in that period of time, many taverns had to close because there wasn't enough business. And before that time, America was a very vile and rough place, so much so that either Princeton or Harvard, one of them had no Christians or no one who would admit to being a Christian in them, and the other one only had two. Both of them were religious universities. Well, anyway, at that same time, Alexander Campbell and many others who were associated with him, Alexander Campbell was the founder, or supposed to be, of the Christian Church, were teaching the kindred doctrines that you and I believe: the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, the kingdom on the earth, the return of Israel, and the fundamentals. But it wasn't long until they began to say, but Israel isn't going to be returned. And so many of those leaders, when they had their conferences, refused to accept it as one of the tenets of faith. But, of course, some continued to hold to that. And so it has been a doctrine that has been taught. There have been some who have, we believe, been unwise. They have set dates for the return of Jesus and therefore the fulfillment of the other prophecies that would take place such as the return of Israel. And that has not yet occurred. But we need not say, but it can never happen. Most of you are familiar with chapter 2 of Daniel, where we have the vision, and all of Daniel is a series of visions with some interpretation, but generally a series of visions. Chapter 2 is the vision of the great image, and it had the four great empires, of course, that are listed there. And then chapters 7 and 8 are a review, shall we say, of those empires, but given with a different aspect. And in chapter 7, Daniel was also shown that there was going to be a Redeemer or a Messiah that would come, to whom all the kingdoms of the earth would be subjected, and he would rule over them. And probably most of you may be familiar with that, but we just want to read that portion, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, because it is that Redeemer that's going to bring about the fulfillment of the other things that will take place that God has promised. Daniel 7, 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and this is capitalized. It means God. It's a prophecy of the ascension, which is recorded in Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall that which shall not be destroyed. I bring this out because it's right in the center, shall we say, beginning with chapter 2, coming up to chapter 7 and 8, of God's teaching of what's going to happen to Israel. But in always, God never left his people without a promise. He may have, and we can find this in Isaiah, we can find it in Jeremiah, we can find it in Ezekiel, there will be that prophecy and proclamation of the destruction that's going to come, such as at the hands of Babylon or at the hands of Assyria or whatever, and they should have been reversed, Assyria and then Babylon. But also he would give them a promise of a return, that they're going to be brought back to that land. And as I said, it would take hours to bring all of these in. In chapter 9 of Daniel, we have the vision of the 70 weeks. And many discussions, many books have been written on this. And I may have told you this when I was here before, but I had a very special privilege several years ago. It was when I was pastoring the church near Tip City, Ohio, the Bryce Creek Church of God. And I had been asked to do a paper for the ministerial conference on the book of Daniel, primarily on chapter 9 and 70 weeks. And in Cincinnati, there is a Jewish college, Hebrew Union College. So I called to see if I could come down and use their library, and I was invited to come and set the day, and I went down to there, and I had a man who I suppose was head of the library or head of the section anyway, and he just spent a lot of time. He brought out more books than I could have read in a week, all on Daniel, encyclopedias and other things, and I'd been there reading and studying and taking notes for about 2 hours. And he came and said, "Say, I want to take you and show you something." And he said, "This is a special privilege, and I'm not bragging, but," he said, "I think you'd be interested." So he took me up a stairway into what we would call a balcony, opened the door, and it was nothing but brass, polished brass cabinets with ornate pictures or sculpturing all around. And he brought out a book of Daniel that was written who wrote the Vulgate? The name left me. 4th century. Well, it'll come back to me. A very rare book. Anyway, as early as 400 BC, we had many people writing about what was going to happen, as is written in chapter 10 And verse 14, Daniel was told by the angel, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." To make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. And what Daniel saw made him sick, literally ill. In verse 3 of chapter 10, we read, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." And the 8th verse says there remained no strength in me. It made him ill as to what he saw that was going to come to pass. And of course, what he saw began with his time, because chapter 2, Babylon was the head of gold. And so it began with his time, but it was for some time to come, as we read in second verse of the 10th chapter, but I don't see it. Anyway, if you follow through, you see that it was for some time to come. And that time is yet before us. Now, the 14th verse says latter days. Last days could well be used. The word last days can be applied to periods of time. It can mean into eternity, or it can mean just a short time. If you would check, for instance, in one of the writings of Peter, I've forgotten whether it's the first or second letter, but Peter said that Jesus was crucified in these last days. And so he referred to that time as the last days. And we know, of course, that it's been approximately 2,000 years. The nation of Israel has been so much in the spotlight in the last 10 years. Day after day, and I mean literally, and you know this, day after day, Israel has been in the headlines. Something about Israel. It was yesterday. I don't know, I didn't listen to very much news today. I don't know whether it was today or not. But it was yesterday. And I'm not surprised at this, because Israel is still God's chosen nation. Israel is still the apple of his eye, still his firstborn, still my son, still the one that he is going to bring about as the completed nation and fulfill and keep his promises with them. He's bringing them much before the people. But their trouble is not over. And what Daniel saw is not over. He saw so many things. He saw in chapter 11, for instance, the destruction of sin and of evil and of the man of sin. Although he's not called that, or the person is not called that, in chapter 11. But nevertheless, it's the one who comes against the land, and he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And if you compare that to 2 Thessalonians 2 and to Revelation 13 and other prophecies that have to do with the end of time and the evil one that's coming in the end of time, Daniel 8 has a picture of the same thing, about the 25th verse. You will find that Daniel saw all of these things. Jeremiah and the 30th chapter, and I'm sure that you, some of you at least, are familiar with this portion of Scripture, but Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, has one verse especially that we are familiar with, but we want to begin with the second verse and notice what Jeremiah was told of the Lord God. "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in the book." And he had his scribe with him, whose name was Baruch. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity. And this word means regathering, not putting behind iron bars or high fences with barbed wire on it, but a regathering. That's what it means in the Hebrew. I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. And how many of us here are not familiar with the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And the promise that they would inherit land. And that's what Jeremiah was being told. They shall possess it. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child, whether... Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces turned into paleness? Why? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. I want to read what the New English Bible has to say on Jeremiah. This is what the Lord has said to Israel and Judah. These are the words of the Lord. You shall hear a cry of terror, of fear without relief. Ask and see, can a man bear a child? Why then do I see every man gripping his sides like a woman in labor? Every face changed, all turned pale. Awful is that day. When has there been its like? A time of anguish for Jacob, yet he shall come through it safely. We are reminded again in Daniel 12:1 that he saw this day, and Jesus undoubtedly was referring to Daniel 12:1, or very probably was, possibly also Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. But Daniel 12:1 reads, and at that time shall Michael, and this is the same angel that had appeared to him in the vision, which is recorded in chapter 10. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And we have a time element given in the second verse. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. The resurrection. So we have generally a time element. Now, to set the date would be foolish again. I think it would be very unwise. But in Revelation 11 and verse 15, where we have the great scripture that is often used, that the kingdoms of our Lord shall become the king, or the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord in his Christ, on about two or three verses, we have a series of events that are going to take place. Among them is judgment and also resurrection, and the gathering of the nations. A time element is involved. So we see that the time that such as never was since it was a nation, and even to that time, is about the time of the final events that come about before the great eternity when there is peace and righteousness. In Matthew 24:21, most of us are more familiar with this verse, which Jesus gave to his followers, listeners. Of course, he'd been asked, he'd been shown the temple, the great temple. He'd been asked, was probably asked to comment about its greatness. And it was a beautiful building. It is said that the Herod had restored it almost exactly like it was in Solomon's time, even to having the polished sandstone on the outside. So it undoubtedly was a beautiful building, but it was beautiful to them because it was the house of worship where they worshiped their one God. But Jesus said, you know, that this temple is going to be torn down. Even the stones are going to be rolled over. They won't even be left one upon another. And in those times of explaining all this, in verse 21, Jesus said, among other things, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning. Now Daniel said this, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, But Jesus added something. No, nor ever shall be. Never will it ever happen again. The simple English Bible reads, there will be great suffering. Never has there been such suffering since the beginning of the world until the present time, and there will never be such suffering in the future. So, even though we recognize that this nation is being regathered, and only in part, personally I believe that most of Israel is still in the graves. They're still to be raised, and this may be one of the places that my son-in-law and I disagree, because, and I'm saying this humbly, and I may be the one that's way out in left field. Most of the ministers that I know of the Church of God believe that all Ezekiel 37's already been fulfilled. That was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel was awakened and brought back as a nation. I say if resurrection in Ezekiel 37 isn't meaningful, then it isn't meaningful in 1 Corinthians 15. I think that Ezekiel 37 is yet to be fulfilled when the dead shall come forth from the graves. Anyway, that's, to me, most of Israel is not in existence today. The ones that are in existence are going to suffer like they've never, ever suffered. Could it be any worse than, and many of you younger ones here, all you know is what we may tell you or what you may read in some history books, but could it be any worse than the 6 million who were killed during World War II? Could it be any worse than earlier times? There was the name that the Jews use is pogrom. In the late 1800s, about 1890 to 1900, there was a great massacre of Jews in Europe especially. Yes, Jesus said, and Daniel before him had said, there's a time coming such as never has been the like. It is going to be worse. I don't know how, but it is. We could look at many, many scriptures. We just bring to mind Joel 3, verses 1 through 16. Give us a picture of war. The nations being gathered in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And of all nations, Joel 3, 2, all nations. I don't like to think that the United States is going to come against Israel. But it says all. And it must mean that. Zechariah 14 says all. But you know, the day is coming when God's going to bring about the regathering of this people.